Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2508 with a release date of Friday, November 21st, 2025 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A newly reopened FCC tackles its backlog. A milestone achievement for digital voice quality. And get ready for some serious meteor scatter experiments. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2508 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
Our top story this week takes us to Washington, D.C., where the U.S. Federal Communications Commission has gone back to work. It has quite a bit of catching up to do, as we hear from Randy Sly, W4XJ.
After a 43-day shutdown that left 80% of the staff furloughed at the FCC, the agency has reopened and begun tackling a serious backlog. As a result, the commission has announced new deadlines for many of its filings, including amateur radio licenses. In a public notice released on November 17th, the FCC said that renewal filings for amateur radio, GMRS, and other personal radio licenses now have a deadline of March 5th, 2026. This deadline relates to all renewal filings that were due on the 1st of October through and including the 5th of March 2026. Holders of expired licenses who now have their renewal filing deadlines extended will be able to continue operating meanwhile as per FCC rules. The nation's longest government shutdown ended with lawmakers' agreement on a bill that maintains funding for federal agencies and programs at least until January 30, 2026, when the country could face a replay of the closure. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
There was a time in Hungary when the simple act of radio broadcast, or listening to one, was a crime. Now, it's a special event, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The transmission of radio signals of any kind was merely an experimental pursuit in Hungary until late 1925, and listening to radio over the air or having privately owned amateur equipment was forbidden. All of that was to change later that year with the start of the first Hungarian public radio broadcast on the 1st of December. 100 years later, amateurs in Hungary are celebrating Hungarian Radio Day when radio was permitted there. 9 special call signs, all beginning with HG100, are on the air throughout December until the 31st, operated by amateurs from the Hungarian Radio Amateur Society and the Honfi József Radio Club. Contacts have been made since the 15th of November on CWSSB in the digital modes, on 160 to 10 metres. The operators are also making use of the QO100 satellite. The Hungarian Radio Amateur Society website has a full list of the 9 call signs and more details of how to receive a commemorative certificate. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
You've heard of Winter Field Day, and you've heard of the traditional ARRL Field Day held in the summer in the Northern Hemisphere. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, takes us to West Bengal, India, where amateurs have just completed a season transition field day.
As surely as autumn turns to winter in some parts of the world, radio operators are curious about the impact that seasonal changes are going to have on propagation. A recent extended field operation by a group of 17 hams from the West Bengal Radio Club tracked those changes by getting on the air near the Earth's Tropic of Cancer. This was as much an academic exercise as a radio exercise, as two professors from nearby universities collected data over the 30-hour period to be used in their research. Ambrash Nag Bisvar, VU2JFA, the club secretary, said that Suman Patra from Jagram University and Ambikur Ghosh from the Heritage Group of Institutions in Kolkata are both studying disaster communications at the Indian Academy of Communication and Disaster Management. The pair hope that analysis of the data will show ways to improve the quality of emergency communication at this challenging time of seasonal change. The Tropic of Cancer was chosen because when it's summer in the Northern Hemisphere, the sun's rays are directly overhead. With the approach of winter, the sun is lower in the sky. This is Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
It's being heralded as a milestone in the long-overdue evolution of speech quality for land mobile radio systems, the use of an adaptive neural network that replaces traditional signal processing. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, has the details.
A digital voice milestone was announced at the recent Acoustics and Speech Conference in California when the Free DV Project's David Rowe, Victor Kilo 5 Delta Golf Romeo, co-presented a paper describing a neural network that replaces traditional signal processing with machine learning. In a recent post on the Free DV website, David called the development, quote, the first known real-world deployment of a neural codec, an important milestone that the ham community can be proud of, end quote. He and programmer Jean-Marc Vallon presented the details to attendees at the IEEE Signal Processing Society conference, where David said it was well received. Instead of using the fixed algorithms of traditional digital voice, the Free DV radio encoder, known as RAID V1, employs fully adaptive machine learning, producing a higher quality result, developed using open source software. Writing as a guest contributor to the Amateur Radio Digital Communications website in October, David noted that the technology, quote, provides an unprecedented speech quality and robustness for VHF, UHF, land mobile radio applications, end quote. The Free DV project has been doing this work with grant support from ARDC. This is Andy Morrison, Kilo 9 Alpha Whiskey Mike.
If you think you sometimes have more than your share of antenna troubles, listen to this report from Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB. He tells us about NASA's plans to get a damaged deep space network antenna back in action.
The U.S. space agency NASA is taking a close look at the serious damage that disabled the largest antenna at its deep space network site in California 2 months ago. The 230-foot antenna, which tracks near-Earth asteroids and communicates with NASA's interplanetary spacecraft, has been out of service since the 16th of September. The antenna suffered an excessive rotation that strained its cabling and piping and damaged its fire suppression system, which led to water damage and flooding, according to a report on the Gizmodo website. The damaged antenna, prized for its sensitivity, received its first signal in 1966 from NASA's Mariner 4 mission. In preparation for Voyager 2's mission toward Neptune, NASA upgraded the antenna's width from 210 feet, or 64 meters, to 230 feet, or 70 meters. It communicated as well with Voyager 1 in 2012, following the spacecraft's entry into interstellar space. Meanwhile, NASA relies on two other deep space communication antennas. They are located in Madrid, Spain, and near Canberra, Australia. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6-ITB.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the St. Louis and Suburban Radio Club W0SRC 2-meter repeater following the weekly club net on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. local time. Get ready for a major meteor shower next month and a major meteor scatter radio activity. Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, tells us how to get involved.
Hams who played a part in the meteor scatter experiments conducted by HamSci, Ham Radio Citizen Science Investigation, during the Perseid show this past August, get another chance at action in the sky next month. The Geminids are coming. HamSci's experiments for these meteor showers will take place on the 12th and 13th of December from 0000 to 2400 UTC. Operators are being asked to use MSK-144 on 50.260 MHz and 28.145 MHz. HAMSI reports that the Perseid show produced more than 70 logs and files for study, and the research group is hoping for similar results this time around. Hams are being invited to participate in the QSO party in what is once again described as a combination of a contest and a special event. Rules for the activity can be found on the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. As the HAMSI website says, work the rocks! Decode the pings. This is Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
With the help of a grant, some counties in Kansas are getting expanded coverage from new repeaters that have digital capability. Jack Parker, W8ISH, has that report.
A network of repeaters is being created to expand digital amateur radio services in the state of Kansas with the help of a $13,950 grant from Amateur Radio Digital Communications. The network will be accessible to hams in 9 counties. The repeaters will operate on VHF and UHF and provide linkage over the internet through Yaesu Wires X, a system that provides even wider coverage. The network call sign will be K0HYS. 2 new repeaters will be established to connect with the repeater that is already in operation in Ellis County. The grant has been given to the Ellis County Amateur Radio Emergency Service Group and STEM Harvest Incorporated, an educational resource that focuses on helping people develop skills in technology. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
In the world of DX, Abby AB1F is on the air as A52AA from Bhutan through the 5th of December, operating SSB on 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters. He may also be heard on 80 and 160 meters. On Easter Island, a team of 9 operators using the call sign 3G0YR will be on the air from the 26th of November through the 3rd of December. Their 4 or 5 stations will be using all modes on all bands, concentrating on the low bands. Listen for them in the CQWWDXCW contest with the call sign CE0Y. You still have time to work operators celebrating Statehood Day in Bosnia and Herzegovina. They are on the air with a special call sign E7 Bosnia until the 25th of November, which is the official date of the celebration. Visit QRZ.com for QSL and other information about these stations. For our final story, we look at the future of AI, and we consider the sun's rays as rays of hope to power that future. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, brings us that story now.
Picture groups of satellites in a low Earth orbit that is synchronized with the Sun, the very source of the energy that powers them. Then imagine each satellite is outfitted with AI chips doing the business of machine learning high above our planet. The satellites are between 100 and 200 meters apart, within a cluster that is no more than 1 kilometer wide, but they have the optical connections that enable them to serve as a single data center. This is Project Suncatcher, a vision announced by Google earlier this month. It exists only in theory, at least for now. Google has teamed up with Planet, an Earth imaging company, in the hopes that the partnership can launch a so-called learning mission into space in 2027, using 2 prototype satellites to test the technology and the hardware. Meanwhile, Google is working out the costs of Project Suncatcher when it ultimately deploys. The launch alone is considered to have a prohibitive price tag. There are also issues of aerospace engineering that need to be resolved to keep the satellite cluster in good repair. With AI's established reputation as a voracious consumer of energy, the company says it was only logical to look beyond the horizon, way beyond the horizon, to get closer to a source of power. Just what is the prospect for the success of Project Suncatcher? Right now, you won't find the answer, even if you Google it. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
It's time to stop chasing POTA or calling CQ, at least for a moment, and send in your ham radio haiku. It's easier than you think. Visit our website at arnewsline.org, and as you compose your ode to your favorite online activity, we will help you use the correct number of syllables to make an authentic haiku. Submit your work, and then sit back and wait to hear whether you are the winner of this week's challenge. The winner gets a shout-out on our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, Amateur Radio Digital Communication, AMSAT News Service, Ambarish Nag Biswas, BU2, JFA, David Bihar, K7DB, 425 DX Bulletin, FCC, Forbes, FreeDV.org, Gizmodo, Google, HamSci, Hayes Post, Hungarian Amateur Radio Society, Morning India, QRZ.com, RadioWorld.com, ShortwaveRadio.de, Stephen Stroh, N8GNJ, Wireless Institute of Australia, YouTube, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at airnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.